Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 542 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am your host, Kevin Huntsberger, joined this week once again by Chad Smart. And Chad, welcome back to the podcast. We're continuing our look at WrestleMania, talking about all things Mania related. I know next week we're talking about the card itself. It is still subject to change. And I didn't know you said you had something for next week that you wanted to talk about. I didn't know if you had any thoughts right now on the Randy Orton, Kevin Owens situation. Kevin Owens, presumably, I read something today, and I don't know how accurate this is, could be out up to 5 years. I don't know if that's true or not. It's, again, the dirt sheets and whatever narrative you want to believe there. But your thoughts on Kevin Owens, or was that part of your questioning for next week?
No, my questioning for next week involves Cody and Cena.
Okay. Okay.
Kevin, yeah. I mean, the Kevin Owens thing kind of came out of nowhere. I don't think it was speculated or reported on before SmackDown happened. And, you know, it's wrestling. So obviously your first thought is it's a work. It's part of a storyline, You know, but it appears not to be. And especially, you know, going back, looking at Owens's match at Royal Rumble, where the ending where he took the power bomb, I think it was a power bomb, through a ladder.
Right.
And landed on his neck. It's like, it's not a surprise that he has neck issues.
Yeah.
You know, for fans and for Owens himself, you know, it's kind of sad that he can't make it to Mania and then take time off after. You know, you never want to see anybody get injured, but you also don't want to do it right, you know, at the biggest show of the year. So, And I hadn't heard that he would be out for 5 years. I did see something about, you know, it could be a lengthy absence, but hopefully it's not that long. But, you know, obviously it's not an injury you want to rush back
right
too soon for. And, you know, you look at Cope, you know, he was out for 10 years with an injury and has come back and hitting people with spiked boards. So there's hope for Owens, you know. I would rather see Owens take the time off and, you know, be as healthy as he can and not rush back. And I'm sure, you know, given the state of wrestling companies today, if Owens did take time off, I'm sure WWE could find some other thing for him to do in the meantime to help out with the company.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like, obviously, health and safety come first. And I know maybe a decade or more ago, that wasn't always the priority. It was get the match on. And I know we kind of saw an example of that with Cody and the torn pec, which I think is a little more healable than potential neck issues. We saw it with Daniel Bryan. I guess his was more head and concussion CTE related stuff, but you mentioned Edge, Cope. You know, that was my thoughts is, you know, get him healthy. Last year, I guess Seth Rollins wrestled with a bum leg. But again, other, not to minimize anyone's injuries, but the neck, I mean, he could literally walk or not even walk away with one wrong move. So, and I guess at any given time, that's what wrestlers face. Any thoughts though on story, you know, we're 2 weeks away as we're recording this, day two of WrestleMania will be happening. Any thoughts on a replacement and how does it make sense storyline wise for Randy Orton, or is this a conversation we have next week and perhaps maybe we know by then who the opponent will be, if, you know, because I hate to see this for Randy Orton too, because I feel like since he's come back at the Royal or at the Survivor Series in 2023, mm-hmm. he's kind of been a bit snake bitten as well.
Well, you know my feelings. I think this is actually a best case scenario for fans, or I should say for me, because it might get Randy Orton off the show. And although that takes away a bathroom break. Now, in all seriousness, no, you know, it seems like you would think that there would be somebody that they could fit in and pivot to. But right now, you know, that looks like, I mean, the logical choice seeming would be Nick Aldis, but was it Aldis? Yeah, because it was on SmackDown. He did not Adam Pearce. He RKO'd Nick Aldis, right?
Okay, I don't know. I didn't see that.
He RKO'd someone. I would believe it would be Aldis since he's mm-hmm. the SmackDown GM. And, you know, Nick Aldis is a wrestler. Hasn't wrestled for WWE, you know, but was NWA champion before coming to WWE. So I'm sure if given the need, mm-hmm. they could go out and have a sub 10-minute match with very little prep time. What yeah. I'm trying to say. So, but then, I don't know. I mean, obviously, that's going to affect your storyline going forward with Nick Aldis as GM,
right?
But yeah, other than that,
is there a reason Nick Aldis doesn't wrestle?
I think he was just signed to be a GM. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't know. Throw Randy Orton into the multi-man IC match that. Looks like it's going to happen. And since they went with a one-on-one match for the United States Championship after SmackDown with Jacob Fatu winning the title shot, I thought there would be a multi-man match for that as well. But mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know. Orton, I'm sure they'll get him on the card somewhere. And I mean, it's Randy Orton. Just have him walk backstage and RKO someone and boom, instant feud.
Does, and I don't know his status, does Sami Zayn make sense to be that opponent, because there is some connective tissue there? Could they come up with a story that would make sense to make that happen?
I'm sure they could try, but I don't know how, if Sammy is injured. I know mm-hmm. he was written off television with injury, right. But that again could just be work or given the fact that we're this close to Mania, mm-hmm. you would think Sammy wouldn't be, you know, written off the main show just to sell a storyline. But
yeah.
But yeah, he could come. I mean, I guess he could come back and blame Orton for Owen's injury, although I don't think Orton and Owens have fought that much, you know, interacted right. that much.
So not enough to where it would necessitate. Maybe,
yeah. So, but I'm sure a Zayn Orton match would be fine. So. But yeah, we'll see what creative has up their sleeve.
I've seen a lot of talk, and then we'll get to our topic at hand, which is the broader talk of WrestleMania. But the other night on SmackDown, I guess Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair went toe-to-toe on the mic. Mm-hmm. Allegedly, Charlotte went off script first, and then Tiffany followed with the crack about being 0-3 with the divorces. And there are some that are saying that they went off script and that the WWE has deleted that comment and yada, yada, yada. I'm still seeing it pop up on social media from WWE sanctioned accounts. So I'm calling bullshit on the fact that it was unscripted. I think it was all part of the whole thing, because up until now, nobody was talking about this match. And Charlotte just recently appeared on the Sherry Shepherd show, talked about her divorce from Andrade, talked about the stress and the pressure. I think her conversation was real. I'm not minimizing what she said by any means, but I think WWE took that opportunity then to turn that into part of this story where it carried over. So in my opinion, it was a work shoot, and it's not, you know, Tiffany did not just throw that line at Charlotte. I think Charlotte was ready, and they knew going into it what was going to happen, because USA Network, for example, which is affiliated with WWE still, obviously, because SmackDown is on, they put that portion of the segment, they actually isolated it and put it out. Mm-hmm. So to say that they're deleting that is hogwash. And so I say it's part of the story. And again, maybe now people are talking about it and it's become a little more intriguing to some fans. What say you?
No, it's interesting because I didn't see the segment. I've only seen the reaction. And right before we started recording, I was watching a YouTube video with comments from fans. And someone pointed out that, you know, like you just said, no one cared about this match before last Friday. And now people are talking about it. So if you want to be cynical, you could say, yeah, that was totally the plan. You had to do something to throw heat onto the fire or create the fire, I guess. Throw sure. gas, make a fire, bring out Demon Kane. But I don't know. If it was legit, well, legit or work, whatever, I think it's just cheap heat. Mm-hmm. But sure. But again, you needed something to get people invested into the match. And now, you know, people are going to go into it thinking, oh, are they going to be able to work together? Are they going to be able to have the match? Or is there going to be lingering, you know, are there going to be receipts thrown?
Are they going to shoot, brother?
Yeah, right. So me personally, doesn't make me care more about the match. Right. I'm more interested in Charlotte's next marriage more than her next match. But, and again, I don't know Charlotte personally. I don't know why her marriages aren't working apparently, but I hope for the best. And I think, you know, kind of, we'll talk probably more about this next week too. The fact that both Royal Rumble winners aren't main eventing either night of WrestleMania seems like a, questioning why those people won then. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Well, and we're going to tackle all the lingering questions and ideas and thoughts leading up to WrestleMania next week. So if you have questions or comments on that, throw them our way as well, and we'll talk more about that. And this could be a whole nother podcast episode, but just, you know, when I think back to our childhood and the buildup to the first WrestleMania, and then, you know, even WrestleMania 10, to an extent, WrestleMania 20, we weren't seeing these. I guess 20 was a little more personal, but, you know, Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant weren't bringing up real life stuff. You know, even the mega powers exploding, if you believe, depending on who you believe, that was all a manufactured story. Nowadays, though, with social media, we have access to everyone. You know, they post their personal lives and whatnot. And we've talked a little bit about this before. But, you know, what are your thoughts on incorporating, because real life drama does fuel some people's motivation to watch or get invested or to care, as we just mentioned. A week ago, nobody was talking about this match. Now, seemingly, every time I get on TikTok or Instagram, I'm seeing clips of those words and then Ludwig Kaiser's response back to Charlotte. So there's all this talk now going on, and it's all stemming from that personal issue that now has been made public. And again, I say, had Charlotte not been on the Sherry Shepherd show earlier in the week, this would still be a non-speaking point, in my opinion. But what do you think in general of personal stories helping fuel or perpetuate a storyline? Because we wouldn't see Tom Cruise's real life coming together on the screen. And again, that's that difference between wrestling and other forms of entertainment.
Yeah, but John Travolta did do Battlefield Earth. So.
Always ready with the zinger.
I hope that made some sort of sense.
It did. to me, it did. I don't know.
I guess if you know, you know. I think it depends on the situation, because as I just said, you know, in one case, it's cheap heat. It's just, you know, low hanging fruit to go after. And I had an example that I lost due to my awesome John Travolta reference. But yeah. Oh, I was going to say, you know, we go back to WrestleMania 22 and using the death of Eddie Guerrero and given Ray, you know, the honorary remembering Eddie Guerrero championship title reign.
Yeah.
That to me was exploitive of a real life situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so in those situations, I am not a fan. But if you bring up something, again, that is, I guess, known, or that the, you know, a wrestler has put out on social media or in the public light, then it's fair game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I wonder, you know, with the comment about Charlotte's divorces, and I don't know the exact quote that was said, if it was very directed or kind of hinted at, but, you know, how many fans got the reference? And how many?
Tiffany said something about just like your personal life, you're 0-3 or something like that. I mean, I think even if you didn't know, you got it. Married three times. I mean, most fans the kids in the crowd probably didn't have any clue, but I think it was a very directed, pointed comment that most people probably picked up on.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's my thing is, like, you know, we make these, or comments are made, which are, you have to be in the know, you have mm-hmm. to be, you know, and obviously we said, you know, the online community is a lot bigger than it was 10, 15 years ago. So, you know, if you say we have the second Ultimate Warrior, you know, he was replaced.
Right.
You know, people are going to be like, what? But now if you say, I don't know, John Cena has a bald spot, everybody knows about that.
Mm-hmm.
My point I'm trying to make, I think, is just that, are you saying something directed at someone that goes over the head of 90% of the audience? And right. if so, it's not worth saying, because, I mean, it's an Easter egg, I guess, for the diehard fan, but is it going to sell tickets?
Yeah, I think in this case, it was not. It wasn't an Easter egg. I don't think, for mm-hmm. most fans, I don't think it went over their heads, at least fans of, you know, a certain age group, old people like us. But so we're going to keep watching. We're going to keep figuring out, but looking at the buildup to WrestleMania. We'll be just a week away from the event as we record next week at this time. So again, throw your comments, suggestions, questions out. But we're going to shift gears and talk about the cost of WrestleMania. And this year, you know, it's great when they talk about setting records. And I do think that overall, in general, wrestling benefits from the heights that WWE reaches. You know, had Vince McMahon, you know, 40 years ago not come up with and executed the WrestleMania idea, and then we get wrestling back on network television with Saturday Night's Main Event, and then eventually primetime television with the main event, the deals that were made, you know, it's a multi-billion-dollar company now. So obviously all of that groundwork went into making wrestling what it is today. And I don't think TNA or AEW or many of the independents exist had it not been for that initial groundswell of what happened. And even though some would point at McMahon for, you know, killing the territories or whatever mm-hmm. the case may be, which we could argue till the cows come home on that in a future episode. But I think really the phrase, you know, high tides raise all ships or whatever the phrase is, I think that's true. I think that there is an interest and you know, people's disdain for WWE is what I think made AEW successful in its early days, because it was at that time an alternative that fans were going to and seeking out. Mm-hmm. So I say all that to say, I still think it's mm-hmm. bullshit that the tickets and all the things that go on with WrestleMania week are, you know, it's not priced for, in my opinion, at least, for families to go. And I don't know, you looked at a lot of the numbers more so than I have, and even compared to when we went for the first time 19 years ago. So it's a tremendous amount more than it was back in our day. And I feel like an old man saying that, but what it is.
No, it's true. I was just going to ask you, do you think, looking back 41 years ago, if they would have went with the name Colossal Tussle, whatever Vince McMahon's original name was, something like along those lines, do you think it would have been as successful 41 years later? Or
no, I don't. I don't think so at all.
So I was looking at costs, and I did a mini breakdown just on the event, like if you and I were talking today and mm-hmm. through our discussion, we're like, oh man, we should be there, you know, for our 11th WrestleMania, we should go. And I booked a little trip for us to go, based on the current situation mm-hmm. and current prices. And I did this last week, so prices may be a bit outdated.
Yeah.
But for me, like I couldn't go on Friday night because I have a AC/DC concert that I'm planning on going to. So I couldn't fly in until Saturday.
Okay.
But looking at flights from St. Louis, for you, you would have got to Vegas like 2 hours before night one of Mania started. So
oh, wow.
I booked you a flight on Friday night, although I forgot to factor the hotel cost into it. And then looking at that, I did pick up Hall of Fame tickets, although I wouldn't be able to be there on Friday, and then WrestleMania tickets. And you know me, I'm very particular about where I want to sit. I don't want to be too, especially in a area, I don't want to be in the upper deck, because what's the point of,
right,
you know, if you're just mainly watching the video screen, sit at home and watch it for $9.99, you know, because at least then you get the awesome commentary of Michael Cole and Pat McAfee. But looking real quick for WrestleMania night one, a ticket in a section that I found acceptable, which is C133 row 7, if anybody wants to take a look on a map, that ticket was $1,100.
Holy cow. For night one.
For night one, which is interesting because that's night one. Night two, which you think is going to have the bigger match, mm-hmm. same section, C133, row 13, ticket was $900.
Wow. So two grand right there just for two tickets.
WrestleMania, yeah.
For night one and two. Wow.
And then for the Hall of Fame, I looked at, because they're selling seats down, you know, normally when it was in the arena, the floor was all just the wrestlers. And even I think when we went in Phoenix, when it was in a more kind of like it is now, a theater, they weren't selling the floor seats. It was just like the loge and the upper deck levels. And the floor was reserved for WWE talent and employees. But now they're selling the floor seats. And so I found floor seats for $495, which are like in the right-hand section in the back.
Wow.
So I figured, yeah. And then I added in the roast of WrestleMania, which is going on after night two,
mm-hmm.
Which as of right now, I don't believe it's going to be streaming anywhere, which I think is a missed opportunity, because you would think you would want people to watch that. Although given the talent involved, who knows what would be said and might be best to.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Tickets for that were $300.
Wow.
And then hotel, booked this room at the awesome New York, New York, which I've actually never stayed at, but it's kind of within walking distance of the Allegiant Stadium. That would be for two nights. Again, I forgot to factor in a Friday night room for you. That's $379. So the fact that you can get a hotel room much cheaper than a ticket to WrestleMania. WrestleCon is free on Sunday. So I figured if we wanted to go there. But WWE World, if you want to go to the, I guess, what used to be Access.
Yeah.
Sunday tickets are $87. And then the big discrepancy is a flight for you from St. Louis on Friday night through Monday was $416. Whereas I could fly Saturday and returning to LA on Monday for either, depending on if I wanted bare bones Spirit or an actual airline with wings, it would either be $66 or $97.
Okay.
So the total cost that I came up with just for two nights of events. So again, that doesn't factor in any of the indie shows. It doesn't factor in going to WrestleCon or WWE World and paying for pictures and autographs.
Yeah.
But the total cost that I came up with was for myself, it would be $3,169, and for you, $3,488.
Wow.
For 2 days.
Wow. And that doesn't include eating.
And that doesn't include eating, souvenirs, or Ubers or anything. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously, and not trying
to. And again, that's also, like I said, the WrestleMania tickets are like mid-range.
Right.
Obviously, you can go cheaper or you can go higher.
Sure. Yeah. You know, and we're not trying to be like, you know, the old men yelling at clouds, but Eric Bischoff made a good point on his podcast of, you know, the market will dictate this. So if this is truly too expensive, and the last I saw, and it's been a few days since I looked, there were still a lot of tickets available. So, you know, and I don't know if it's I'm assuming it's TKO that's kind of setting this stuff. It's not Triple H sitting in a room with, you know, Bruce Pritchard and Road Dogg, and they're coming up with ways to make a buck. But
although with those two names, given what's probably going on in that room, it might lead to the decision making.
maybe so. It's just crazy to think, you know, because I don't have the numbers in front of me, but from probably the first couple of WrestleMania, we probably could have gone to a couple WrestleManias for that price.
Yeah. Well, I mean, given what we paid for the first WrestleMania, we could have gone to two for everything that we got in the travel package of hotel room, Hall of Fame, autograph session, breakfast, and ringside seat, you know, fourth row at Mania. Mm-hmm. This would be, we could go to like two WrestleManias and one more night.
Wow. Yeah, because that first year when we were in Chicago for 22, if I remember correctly, the ticket, you know, we did the travel package, which was what, $1,200 or whatever it was.
About 15, I think.
15. The ticket to WrestleMania itself was $750. I remember it being, you know, back when they printed the tickets out. Man, that's just insane.
Yeah. So you're talking about number, and I don't have them in front of me. I'm sure they're a little bit higher now, I would think. But what I saw last week was, I believe there are around 66,000 and change tickets sold so far for both nights, which they said will be the lowest attended Mania since 22, which 22 was in an arena. Everything else is, since then, has been in stadiums. And my thought is, given that they put the tickets on sale, you know, in September, October, and like I said, the prices being as high as they are now, without anything being announced, you know, you don't know what's going to happen at Mania.
Right.
And especially with this year, the unpredictability of Jey Uso winning and Charlotte Flair winning the Rumbles, not to take anything away from those two, but again, and we'll talk about more next week, those aren't really, like, I don't think Mania selling matches that they have put together. Do you see, you know, potentially think that maybe next year or the year after, that people are going to hold off buying tickets until the card starts taking shape?
No, I don't think so. I think that the brand is big enough that, and for some people, I would imagine,
and just there's enough.
Yeah, I'm not flexing, but there's probably not a ton of people who have been to 10 WrestleManias. Some people probably have saved up for years, maybe decades, for this one moment. And so they're not afraid to spend $5,000 to do everything and to experience it, because they know, I'm not going to go back, or I'm not going to go back for another 10 years, or whatever the case may be. Yeah. So in some cases, I think, yeah, it's crazy, insane. It's like the people that go to Disney, you know, there are people that go, I know some of my friends that go yearly, sometimes twice a year. And then there are others that save up for many, many years to make that one trip and kind of shoot their shot and have a hell of a time and an experience. And I think that maybe that's part of the case with WrestleMania, but man, it just seems. And then I also wonder, because the last I looked, there were like probably at least 40 other shows or events wrestling related tied into, you know, between WrestleCon and then the podcasts that do the, you know, the Undertaker's podcast, the Major Wrestling Figure podcast. There's plenty of other things going on. And then all these other little indie shows out there. It just makes for a very expensive time while you're out there. And I wonder if these smaller events, will they be hurt by this or will they be helped by this? Maybe someone decides, okay, we're not going to go to Hall of Fame or WWE World, but instead we're going to go to two or three indie shows and do that instead. And because they're all kind of going on also at the same time. So I'll be curious to see on the other side of Mania how the others did, how they fare, because obviously at one point they all kind of latched onto the Mania week to have their shows as part of that, because you've got, you know, monkey or fish in a barrel, basically, that they're already here. So boom, let's bring them in with our brand of wrestling as well. So what do you think? I mean, it'd be tough doing all of the WWE stuff now, and now that they've also added the roast, and I think the Undertaker's thing is kind of still affiliated with WWE. I don't know if it's an officially sanctioned WWE event, but there's a lot of WWE things happening now too during that week that maybe weren't happening before WrestleMania or before, you know, in previous years.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the fact that the indie promotions kind of latched onto WrestleMania weekend as a good weekend to highlight their product, because the amount of wrestling fans coming into towns for WrestleMania, I think WWE realized, like, hey, we could also make extra money off of these fans, which, again, it's smart business. You know, and plus you've now be, and I don't know if they'll do this going forward or if this is just a Vegas thing, given the fact that's in Vegas, but I think Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there are after parties where WWE wrestlers are going to be and musicians and that's something. And then for the indie scene, there are watch along parties at various casinos.
Oh, okay.
You know, so again, I guess if you were going to be in town and you wanted to watch the you didn't want to pay to watch the show, but you wanted to go watch it with fans somewhere instead of just watching in your hotel room, that's an option too. And so, yeah, there's just so much. I mean, and it's Vegas, so people don't sleep anyway. So,
right.
You know, you and I have been there 2 o'clock in the morning, walking around, seeing people pushing babies in strollers. So I don't get it, but whatever. Teach their own. Yeah, I just think there's so much going on now that, like I said, even the cost of the indie shows has risen.
Right.
You know, since I think when the first Ring of Honor show we went to, I think we paid what, $20, $40 maybe? And now I think the cheapest that I saw when looking at the indie shows was like $30 for a ticket. And then you factor in where each show is taking place. So again, are you, you know, either drive, you know, renting a car and driving, or are you Ubering? Because Vegas is not really a walking. I know a lot of things are like, hey, it's just right there. And then you start walking and it's, you know, the optical illusion of just right
an
there.
Hour turns later, out to be an hour later.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's good for the fans, obviously. But like you said, is it affordable now? And again, to each their own. And there are some people who will say, yes, I want to go and I'm going to spend, you know, $5,000, $10,000, whatever, because this is my one trip of the year. That, you know, this, like you said, this website, or I'm just terribly financially irresponsible. I just want to have fun, you know?
Yeah. I wonder too, how many people look at this and say, okay, we can't afford to go to WrestleMania, but we're going to go, we're going to be there. You know, my friends, we're talking before the Super Bowl, before the final, you know, he's a diehard Lions fan, lifelong, has always waited for this. And so he and his wife had decided, we're going to go to New Orleans. We're not buying tickets to the Super Bowl, but we want to be there for the excitement, for the buzz of it. Yeah. And we'll watch the Super Bowl in a bar with other fans, Lions fans, yada, yada, yada. I wonder how many people take that approach with WrestleMania, especially with, like you said, it's Vegas. I had heard that the reason it's Easter weekend is because Easter weekend in Vegas is typically slower. And so this is giving something for to bring people into town. So I wonder how many people will go. I wonder, A, because we do see a lot of families when we go to WrestleMania. So will that hurt the family dynamic of, you know, especially little ones that maybe expecting to wake up Easter Sunday and go on an Easter egg hunt versus going and standing in line to go meet Jey Uso? Or, you know, are they going to be more inclined to buy the flight to Vegas, go to a couple indie shows, maybe go to the roast of WrestleMania or the Hall of Fame, and then, like you said, watch with that group, you know, that group mentality? So it's interesting to see, because I don't know. I didn't really consider it at the time, but sitting here thinking about it, like, would that be something you would ever do, as buy tickets and fly to wherever Mania is, but then not go to Mania? Could you imagine doing that as a fan?
Well, You know, it's funny you say it because I was talking with my girlfriend when I started mocking up the trip. And she's like, oh, do you want to go? And I'm like, no. And then like a few days later, she's like, are you sure? You know, if you're looking at it, do you want to just go to Vegas? Because she's like, it's been cold here in LA, cold and rainy. She's like, I want to go somewhere warm. And she's like, we can just go to Vegas for the weekend, as we've done a few times.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I don't want to go. I said, I can't go to the WrestleMania without Kevin because
you're so sweet.
I mean, we've been to 10, you know, I can't break. And she's like, that's really weird. And you guys are grown adults. That's,
I almost spit my beer out,
which I will say, for people listening, you could help settle an argument. Cause I texted you. So when Kevin and I have gone to WrestleMania, we split a hotel room, two beds. Only one time we had to share one because of a mix up at the hotel. That was Houston.
Yeah.
But we did the pillows in between. We didn't have the soft pillows from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but
true.
But you know, we split a hotel room, double bed, you know, two beds. And I did the, I just was in Texas on a road trip a few weeks ago with a friend, same thing that we did. And she's like, why, you know, that's so weird. You're adults, like get your own hotel room. I'm like, why am I paying an extra $300 a night for a hotel room?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem sharing a room. So listener, viewer, tell me, is it weird for guys to split a hotel? And, you know, and I guess in the wrestling ideology or thinking of it, you know, if you read Mick Foley's book, he's like, yeah, you know, when we were starting out, we had Foley and Austin and Mark Mirror, I think, you know, all splitting hotel rooms and cutting down on costs and sleeping on floors. So I think as long as we at least have a bed and pillows, we're fine. But
well, tell her this: spring break 1995, 30 years ago, it was me, myself, and 12 buddies split two hotel rooms. we were everywhere, and there was all kinds of.
Yeah. I mean, my friends that go to Comic-Con do that. You know, they'll pack 6-7 people into a room.
Well, that only year we went to New York, there were four or five of us there. Because I think
four or five of us.
Bed.
Four or five, yeah. So, I mean, the Chikara road trip from Chicago to Indianapolis or Indiana, five people in the room.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So, road trippers, what do you do? How do you handle that situation? You know, I'm in agreement with you. I don't mind splitting the room and saving a little money there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when we road trip down to New Orleans for WrestleMania 30 and we stopped in, I think it was Tupelo.
Yeah.
You know, the hotel we went in, the casino hotel we went to, rooms were $29 a night. That, fine. You can get to your own hotel room for $29. But if a room is $200, $300 a night,
yeah,
that's ridiculous in my case. So
makes sense. It makes sense. Any other thoughts on the cost of WrestleMania before we wrap up this week's episode, Chad?
You know, I'm curious. And I didn't look into it, but merchandise, because I know when I've gone to concerts recently, a t-shirt, which again, 20, 30 years ago was $20, is now $50.
Yeah.
And that's just ridiculous to me because I'm a cheap bastard when it comes to clothing you know, so I'm wondering, you know, how much is the merchandise for WrestleMania? And, you know, you see people that buy multiple shirts, title belts, collector items they have there. And this is, you know, I was just in Target yesterday and they had a new CM Punk Netflix action figure and it was $33.
Mm.
And again, that just blows my mind that these toys are that much, you know. I mean, you can't stage a Survivor Series match anymore for less than $500, it seems. So.
Exactly. Well, you know, and when we went to 39 in LA, I bought my friend Sam Hunter from Stride Pro Wrestling. I picked it up for him. He paid for it. But I think the Cody Rhodes t-shirt that he wanted was like $40, which to me was high, but it wasn't as high as I thought it would be. And I bought myself a bottle opener and it was only $10 because I went in there and I'm like, you know, I don't re- I wear wrestling shirts occasionally, but not a lot. And, you know, a lot of them are too over the top for me. So I wanted something that I would be kind of practical. And I do use bottle openers, obviously. So a $10 bottle opener, I didn't think was bad. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you see those belts, you know, those belts are $400-$600 in some cases. And you've got multiple champs walk, you know, champs with multiple titles on their waist and shoulder. So it is interesting. If you are one of those that buys everything when you go out, what do you do for a living? I'm just curious, and not trying to be rude, but yeah, a guy, you know, whether you have a family and you're taking them, or whether you're a family person and going out there on your own, I mean, it adds up. It adds up quick. So, but again, it is entertainment. It is fun. It is a way to, like you said, spend that money, spend that time, and do something fun with it. So.
Yeah, I would hope people are making sane financial decisions, but I'm not going to, you know, if that's what you want to do, that's your life. That's, you know, I watch wrestling pay-per-views that people will be like, why do you spend the money on that, you know, every month? But
which is speaking of that, going back to the shirt stuff, because you just went to Revolution. The AEW pay-per-view t-shirts. I mean, it's not just WWE. We're not just picking on WWE. I think t-shirts across the board, it's concerts. Yeah. It's whatever you're going to. T-shirts are 30, 40, 50 bucks a pop.
50
now.
Bucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're 50 bucks at Mania. And that's why I didn't get my Costco guy t-shirt, which I really wanted, but
maybe Costco will sell them discounted.
You know, they should. If AEW and the Costco guys aren't trying to get their stuff into Costco, that's, you know, you could get a whole batch of t-shirts for 20 bucks. And, you know, everybody needs 20 AEW t-shirts. No, and that's the thing is like, but again, that's my own, you know, I won't spend $50 on a t-shirt, but I'll spend $60 on a good meal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just whatever you choose. And if it makes you happy, again, as long as it's not hard drugs, then fine, go for it. But yeah, I am curious, like I said, if anybody's watching who does splurge on these things, I would like to know, is it because it's the one time a year, or is it, or do you have a good job that is hiring that you get into?
There you go. Well said. Well, friends, we will be back next week to talk more about the buildup to WrestleMania 41. We'll throw in some other fun facts along the way, I'm sure, as well. Be sure, as we're wrapping up, to check out in the next day or two, My123 Madness. It will be posted on the My123 Sense Facebook page. The finals are up, and I want you to vote on that. Don't ask me, though, Chad, what it is, because I have not looked at that. By the time this podcast drops, it will be up and ready to go, too. We're looking at theme songs. So, friends, thank you so much for listening and or watching to this week's episode, and we will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.